to them girls. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Attention Browns backers, check out the completely redesigned Browns backers portal and take your experience as a Browns fan to a whole new level with exclusive access, giveaways, and more. Register now for free at fans.clevelandbrowns.com. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, and at this time, we do want to continue to check in with you, 216-578-0850. It's Call Your Shot, but we're going to check in with the head coach of the Cleveland Browns, and Mike Pettine. Here's what he had to say last night on the Mike Pettine Show and when he was asked, what was the key from a defensive standpoint in shutting down Andy Dalton last week?
I thought it was important that we got our hands on the receivers. I mean, that is the one rule that is in favor of the defense, and I thought our guys have done a real good job of perfecting their press technique, and I thought all of our guys, whether it was K'Wan Williams in the slot or Buster Screen on the outside, or obviously Joe or Justin Gilbert, I thought we did a really good job of disrupting routes.
And they did. The physicality of the corners, the conditions, all disrupted Andy Dalton. He ended up averaging just about 2 yards per attempt, quarterback rating of 2.0, 3 interceptions on the day. And you look at this game, another opportunity to be physical with the wide receivers at the point of attack, another opportunity to have the wind affect the quarterback. Now, Ryan Mallett's got a big, strong arm, so I don't think he's going to be as prone to the fluttering as Andy Dalton was, but I think the game plan is going to be similar. Battle with those two guys outside, give them a lot of attention, and say, okay, Alfred Blue, Garrett Graham, who's got 122 yards on the season, or Damaris Johnson, the third receiver who doesn't even have 200 yards on the season, you three beat us with a quarterback who's never played in the NFL before.
It definitely does. And what getting your hands on a receiver does is it throws off your timing. Because right now we have a quarterback who's, again, has only played 4 plays in the National Football League, is right now throwing in practice to wide receivers that are running free off the line of scrimmage. And the rapport that he's building with those wide receivers is maybe catching its stride right now, but that's where the test of a football game and your ability to disguise certain things, which throws off timing, or getting your hand on a player throws off that rapport and that timing that he's developed last week in the bye and this week in preparation for the Cleveland Browns. And Nathan, that also too is, as you've heard me, as we talked about, as I started when we were playing the Saints, for me as a linebacker, anytime we played one of those Tony Gonzalez or Antonio Gates type of tight ends, from a linebacker standpoint, not saying the Houston Texans have it, but I always talked about getting a chuck on those tight ends, those productive tight ends. And in this case, we have productive wide receivers because it throws off the timing. You know, the tight end can't get to the depth of a route or into the zone of a route in the time that a quarterback is used to, and that disrupts him and has to go to another option.
And talk about the timing, though, because they don't even have that rapport yet. Ryan Mallett's been practicing with these guys for 2 weeks.
Right, and in this case, he's probably playing against a scout team or practice squad corners who are intimidated by Hopkins and Johnson and are giving them a free release off the line of scrimmage so that they can conceptually get into their routes and build that rapport and a comfort level for Ryan Mallett as they go against a scout team in preparation for the Cleveland Browns. Well, rude awakening is going to be Buster Screen and Joe Hayden are going to jam them and stick a stiff arm in their chest that they're going to have to get off of, and then they're going to have a Pro Bowl corner and a corner who has played – you know, great as of late, mirroring their route, so they're not going to be able to, you know, they're not going to run free, and that's the hard thing, and why sometimes an emphasis on your scout team and why, you know, a productive football team has a competitive scout team, because they're giving you the best depiction of what they're going to see on Sunday. And with Ryan Mallett at the quarterback position having not built that rapport, they're going to want to build his confidence. He wants to, you know, complete 80 to 90% of his balls in practice. So they're going to have those guys running free, getting into those zones, making everything very pretty. But it's a huge misconception to what they're going to see on Sunday.
I'm excited about that. And that's what I – because you can only prepare to play in the NFL, I think, ultimately by playing. I know a lot of people have had success in their first starts, and that's fine. But when you take away the backbone of what is that offense in Arian Foster, that is going to hurt. And now you have to face this team on the road, hostile crowd, hostile weather conditions, and a team that is built to stop what you now are going to do well without Arian Foster, and that's throw the ball to your guys on the outside.
Not a doubt. And even to take things a step further, I just talked about he's throwing those footballs to wide receivers that are running free. We haven't even talked about Jabal Sheard or Paul Kruger or Barkevious Mingo or Whitner or Dansby, you know, coming on these blitzes and throwing under duress to a wide receiver who was jammed off the line of scrimmage as well. So, you know, positive for the Cleveland Browns, and I'm right now going to put that, you know, that tally mark,
put
you know,
that on the
in,
good
our,
side.
In our favor.
That's right, in our favor. Speaking of Ryan Mallett, Mike Pettine was asked, how do you prepare for Ryan Mallett?
Well, you know, the one thing for sure that we're going to be is we're going to be us. I mean, there's no – I don't think we need to do anything extraordinarily different. Our game plans haven't changed significantly in recent weeks that we build it to stop what they take away. But he's a guy that I think just like any quarterback playing early in their career, you have to make an attempt to confuse them. To maybe present them with some looks where they think they know what the coverage is and it might actually be something different.
How do you...
Love that stuff.
And he's right. Talk about some of the ways that you would disguise what you are going to do to a rookie, or not a rookie, but to a guy making his first start like a Ryan Mallett.
The corners, essentially, the corners and defensive backs maybe aligned all at 8 yards. And then as he gets into his cadence, the corners roll up, the safeties roll back. Or having Dante down in the box and Jim Leonard or Tashawn Gibson or Jordan Poyer kind of mingling towards the middle of the field, and then they run back to their half and they're playing some type of cover two or a rover type coverage. And then also that's from a defensive back standpoint, but from a linebacker standpoint, that just means maybe lining up in a certain front that they've prepared for. And then, you know, little did they know that Coach Mike Pettine and Jim O'Neill have been in their the think tank, thinking up different fronts and giving them a certain look. And then maybe what we've done before in San Diego and in Green Bay, then, you know, Dansby gives like a ready call and everybody jumps into a different front. So-and-so stands up, he moves to the middle, and a guy like Ryan Mallett's gonna go, whoa, what do I do now? And that's when you see timeouts being happening because they're not ready. You see delay of games, and also too, or you see a guy completely run free into the backfield, get an easy sack or a tackle for a loss.
Yeah, and in my opinion, that's what you want to do. Is this the kind of game where you'll throw in maybe some zone blitzes that you haven't shown before so that you can get somebody dropping into when you know that against this blitz, this is the hot receiver, that's how they handle it, that you can throw a zone blitz that you haven't used at all this season to drop somebody in that zone and try to get a quick pick?
Definitely. I mean, I'm a huge fan of zone pressures because I ran them at Ohio State, I ran them in San Diego. Dom Capers is a huge advocate of zone blitzes. But also, too, is Coach Pettine has the luxury to have corners that can cover, corners that have been taught from day one to be physical. So zone pressures, yes, will confuse, but I also, too, I think because of their personnel, when you look at Hopkins and Johnson, I think our covers cover those guys. That's a wash. You know, I like Gibson covering their tight end. I even like Whitner covering their tight end. And then because of Alfred Blue and no Arian Foster, I think Dansby, Kirksey, and Robertson can have their day with Alfred Blue. So we win every matchup, which is why we'll see more man pressure this week. And we're going to – and again, you heard Coach Pettine out the gates. We're going to be who we are. That's what right. We do. And until they force us to deviate, we're going to dominate that way.
Mike Pettine talked about continuing the momentum this team has built with three straight wins now that they return home.
Well, that is the best part is that we are at home. And if there was any opportunity for a letdown, that being at home certainly helps prevent that. Just we will certainly feed off the energy of our crowd as we have, and I think our guys truly enjoy being home. I mean, it's they know that we control the volume with the dog pound. I've said that often, and that's critical. That just being at home isn't enough. That we have to make plays in order to get the crowd into the game. So, you know, I'll put our crowd up against anyone else in the league.
Yes, and it is a great crowd. Get out there. A lot of hashtags going out. Hashtag We Bark Together for this game. Get out there early. Get in your seats. Get loud. Mike Pettine, the players, they all talk about what a great crowd and what a true home field advantage it has become. Let's make sure that continues to be the case this Sunday. Jim Dre and Gary Barnidge, we know Jordan Cameron is out. They are going to have to contribute to continue to step up, and I've been so impressed with what they've done lately, especially last week against Cincinnati, and the coach talked about his two unsung tight ends.
Well, starting with Jim, I mean, he was a guy that we identified in free agency and really did some good things on tape in Arizona, and we thought he was kind of an under-the-radar steal as a free agent, and he's certainly come in and lived up to that. Just all he does is a job. You know, he blocks real well on the edge, as you've already said it. And he just has the ability to get open, and when the ball's thrown to him, he catches it. There's nothing real flashy about him. He's been a real big part of our success right from the beginning. And then, you know, Gary Barnidge is a big play Barnidge. I mean, it just seems when we need one, he's been there. Obviously, the catch on fourth down in the Saints game kind of put him on the map that way, but he's made some big plays for us.
Money Miles and Big Play Barnidge.
Big Play Barnidge. Big Gare. I'll tell you what, he has made some big plays. You go back to that catch against New Orleans on 4th and 7. That was a huge one. Great throw from Hoyer. I thought their hookup down the seam against Cincinnati was one of the best pitches and catches of the season for the Cleveland Browns. So, they really have stepped up. And when you think about the fact that this offense continues to do as well as it does in the passing game without the two guys who went to the Pro Bowl and Josh Gordon, now Jordan Cameron, who's missed a few games in a row this season, it's remarkable. And I think those two tight ends are guys who come in. They're not flashy. They're not household names. But what Mike Pettine hit on is something so key. They do their job. And that's what I was talking about with Sione Fua, who is coming and he just does his job. How important is it to have those guys on a team in a locker? Because everybody can't be a star
NFL. It takes those guys to
like
win.
The glue.
It takes those guys to win football games. And that's one point that I always talk to people about, in my post-career opportunities is 30% of this roster, or I'll say this, 70% of this roster is on a minimum salary. You know, there's only 30% of this roster making, $750,000, $1 million, or millions of dollars. It takes that 70% of guys to do their job to be successful, and I believe that the New England Patriots have done an amazing job with that. Bill Belichick finding those diamonds in the rough and then getting their buy-in to hold them accountable to only what do your job. You know, don't try to do your buddy's job. Don't try to do more than your skill set, but do yours at 100 miles an hour, and I'll get 10 other guys, and we'll be highly successful. And I would also like to say one other point is that I think the management of the tight end position on this football team by Kyle Shanahan, drawing up those plays for those guys to make those big plays, not asking them to get open and have 10 targets. They're going to get 3 targets and make 3 catches or 2 catches, but make those big catches when they need to. And then the fact that we haven't talked about them in a few weeks now in the run game. We had our most dominant performance in a while, and we didn't have to say so-and-so was getting beat. And I think they're as connected to the offensive line now and the synergy that is created that they had on Thursday night, and we hope that carries over to Houston.
Yeah, I think that is exactly the case. Another guy who's been an unsung hero, Craig Robertson. Tough year last year, really bounced back, and it was interesting because the coaches all said, we like Craig a lot. We did think last year's scheme put him in situations where he was set up to fail. This year we're going to put him in situations where he is set up to succeed, and Robertson has done just that, and Coach Penn talked about what Craig has meant to this Browns team.
Yeah, I think Craig was criticized some last year when you look at some of the games, and what we saw was a guy that was passionate about football, was a good leader, a great teammate. He represented everything that we talk about in playing like a Brown, on and off the field. And Craig's been tremendous for us since day one.
Yeah, when you talk about Craig Robertson and the criticism that he received last year, what a lot of people must understand is that every defense or every defensive coordinator and the way in which they call a game or construct a defense can funnel tackles to a position, Okay, basically, this is my playmaker. That's why you see a Kuechly in Carolina have 190 tackles. Or you see certain safeties on certain teams make a ton of tackles.
Sure.
And what happened was in Horton's defense, that weak inside position, very similar to the system I played in with Wade Phillips, that weak inside linebacker, Donnie Edwards, myself, make a ton of tackles. In this case, things are a little bit more spread around. We look at Dansby making a lot of tackles and the strong safety position making a lot of tackles. And so I believe coming out of North Texas, you know, very young, very immature, was thrown into the fire into a position that makes a ton of plays. It was a bad situation for him on many different accords. And I think it was a learning experience, and that is why we're seeing him flourish in this new system.
And they also put him in tons. I mean, Ray Horton would constantly put him in tons of coverage situations against slot receivers,
Reggie Bush, tight ends.
That he was not in the right place to cover, but came up with that big interception that set the tone against Cincinnati. And finally, this was my favorite one from last night. I talked with Coach Pettine, and anybody who's around the team knows that after a big win, he likes to light up a victory cigar, and it's kind of become a thing with he and the coaching staff, and he talked about that tradition that they've started this year.
O'Neill and I have a humidor in his office that is fully stocked, and I think when word got out that we were cigar guys, we got sent more than a few, so there's plenty to go around, but it has been. I mean, it's just been a tremendous year for us as a staff, and for us to be able to get together afterwards and celebrate wins. I mean, I think that's one of the reasons that we have been successful. The coaching staff is very tight.
And I talked about that, and he said that this staff is tighter than any staff really that I think he's been on in the past. And it is infectious. It is contagious, and it's great that they have had an opportunity to celebrate. And that's a rare glimpse inside of the happy side of Coach Penn, in the sense that, you know, he's able to talk about a celebration, because in his mind, the work is just beginning. It is in no way, shape, or form done. But I like that he does take moments to enjoy the wins before he turns the page and says, all right, time to get back to business.
Absolutely. And what it does, it gives us a glimpse that
he's a real guy.
He's human. He's real. He's just like all of us. And I think the great thing about this is, you got to figure this coaching staff and Coach Mike Pettine, they were backed into a corner as a rookie staff, I'll say, backed into the corner because of all the bad that's been going on around here. And what they've done is just fight themselves out of that corner into legitimacy. And they're celebrating it along the way, rightfully so, because they're doing something around here with that culture change that hasn't been done in a long time.
It's a beautiful thing. When we come back, time to go ahead and take a look ahead. Time to talk about what's going to happen this Sunday. Time for you to call your shot. By the way, an update. There will be no Giovanni Bernard or Vontaze Burfict for the Bengals this Sunday when they have a tough, tough matchup going on the road and taking on the New Orleans Saints. So that's good news there again for the Browns in the AFC North. Just updating you on that. When we come back, let's go ahead and get those phones going. 216-578-0850 still to come at 2 p.m. John McClain from the Houston Chronicle to give you the preview from the Texan side. All right, we'll be back with more CBD's Zagern Wilhelm right after this.